Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hey, hey, everyone. It is Andrea Maxim with the Profitable Practice Podcast, and you are in for a treat. I have had this podcast in the works, probably for the past 2 months, and it was one of those emails that showed me that I was definitely on the path to greater things. So I have been kind of watching this woman grow her brand, grow her business, and see all the amazing things that she's doing. I actually got to witness her live at the Archangel Summit in Toronto last year, and her story literally brought me to tears in my seat. She was talking basically about the hardship that her son went through. He had a horrific hit and run accident that basically left him broken all over the place. He was pretty much had 5% chance to live, and she did everything she possibly could to nourish him with high doses of fish oil, like 20 grams a day. She just sat in his hospital room and did research for him and found all the different ways that she could bring him back to life. And at this time, I was sitting watching her on the stage talk about this tremendous hardship that she went through and how she relied on her business to help pay for the bills while she was, you know, in the hospital in the States. And I was 7 months pregnant at the time. And the part of the story that got me and has never left me since was, she said he had 5% or less chance to live, and thank goodness he chose to live. And for me, being a mom and of course expecting another child, I just burst into tears. And this is none other than JJ Virgin. And the coolest part about it was I didn't seek her out. Her team emailed me and said, is it possible for JJ to be on your podcast? And I was like, yeah, 100% yes. And I think I jumped a little bit in my seat when I saw that. So I can't wait for us to jump right into the interview, and we'll talk to JJ. And she's the author of 4 New York Times bestsellers, The Virgin Diet, The Virgin Diet Cookbook, JJ Virgin's Sugar Impact Diet, and JJ Virgin's Sugar Impact Diet Cookbook. Her memoir, which is what I would strongly recommend you read about, that story that I kind of prefaced with interests you at all, The Miracle Mindset, is a mother, her son, and life's hardest lessons, where she explores the powerful lessons and strengths and positivity that she learned after her son Grant was the victim of a brutal hit-and-run accident. JJ hosts the popular JJ Virgin Lifestyle show, podcast, and regularly writes for the Huffington Post, Rodale Wellness, and other major blogs and magazines. She is a frequent guest on TV and radio and speaks at major events. And in addition to her work with nutrition and fitness, she is also a business coach and founded the premier health entrepreneur event and community, the Mind Share Summit. So without further ado, I'm just going to jump right into the interview because I just can't wait to talk to this woman, and I can't believe she's on my show. So I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did. Hi, JJ. Thank you so, so much for being on the Profitable Practice Podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
JJ is one of those phenomenal people that I still remember your segment that you had on PBS. I think when I was just in naturopathic school, talking about the 7 things you shouldn't be eating and what a journey you've had with your personal life as well as your business life. And I think you are going to be one of the, you know, major influencers on this podcast with regards to especially the whole idea of branding, because basically you have set yourself up
where you are 100% your brand. Everybody knows you by name, by face, and I think it's really, really inspiring. So again, this is going to be an amazing show. And if you want to give a little bit of a background on who you are and why this is so important for you, I would love to hear it.
Oh, thank you. And hey, we all are our brands. And I think that's one of the key things for us all to remember is the more you can really identify what you're irrationally passionate about, what you want to make your mark in the world with, and who you really want to serve, you know, get out of that scarcity of thing of feeling like you have to serve everybody because there's not enough people, because there's way more people than we could ever serve, and just really dial in what you're passionate about, then first of all, you win every day. It's like you love what you're doing, but also you will like create a practice that just, you know, out of sight, huge. So I started out in college. I was a personal trainer in college. I was at UCLA, and it was 30 years ago, and I was one of the first personal trainers. It was actually me embodied by Jake. And it was very interesting, because here I was in college, then I was in graduate school studying biomechanics, and what drove me crazy was I had ended up with some of his clients. And the things he was doing with these clients was the dumbest stuff I'd ever seen. It was like ridiculous. I was going, did this guy, like, has he ever studied anatomy and physiology? Like, it just was horrifying. But yet, he was charging twice as much as me for half the amount of time. He had his brother working for him. Like, he was building this whole business. And here I was, like, slaving away and, you know, killing myself to get clients. And I thought, you know what? What does he have that I don't have?
Yeah.
Right. Instead of like becoming angry and bitter and, you know, I looked and I went, what can I take away from this one? And what I could take away from this one was it wasn't about how many degrees I got, how many certifications I got, how much I learned. It was about how well I could market that. And it was just that big shift, because I kept thinking, well, I'm better than him. Right. It doesn't matter. I mean, why I got really into this whole world of helping other health experts and entrepreneurs increase their influence was because I saw the smartest doctors. They would treat difficult clients and complicated cases, and they were so amazing and broke.
Right.
And it drove me crazy because I was like, gosh, I meet the smartest people and they have the quietest offices. It's like no one knows they're there, and they feel like if they build it, they will come. And that's actually not, that was a fantasy movie, and that's not life.
Exactly.
Right? So that's been the journey. As I started as a trainer, I kind of went, oh, I better learn marketing. Then I had my own Mr. Miyagi moment in my early 30s when I was third graduate school, getting ready to go to doctoral school. So I was still in school, but I was doing more marketing. And this woman was like, well, you know, doing more and more and more school is not going to get you where you want to be. And I'm like, it's not?
I know.
Wow, I don't need 12 more certifications and specializations and everything else. And she's like, no. And she said, like, I'll teach you business if you want. Now, this was a self-made multi-millionaire woman who grew up in a trailer in Kansas. And I'm like, all right, that sounds good. So I actually moved into her house. And what was crazy is I really thought that she was going to teach me, because she's like, I'm going to teach you business. And the first 6 months, this woman taught me mindset.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, well, when am I going to learn like how to make money? And she goes, we'll never get there with the way you think now, you know, it's never going to happen. So it was a very interesting journey, but she was my Mr. Miyagi that really taught me, you know, the ideas of possibility of moving into abundance rather than the scarcity mentality that I see so many practitioners having, the really understanding that, you know, you are only going to get paid at the value you see yourself at. You know, it's like it all comes down to self-worth. As a trainer, I had to decide how much I was paid an hour. And, you know, every time I'd raise my rates, I'd hold my breath and think someone was going to tell me, no way, you're not worth that. And every time I raised my rates, I'd get a waiting list. And, you know, I was like the highest paid personal trainer around at the time. And it's all those lessons that you don't learn in school. They're not obvious. You know, if anything, they're so not intuitive. And they are the things that really make the difference between you being successful or not.
And let's talk about some of that, because it is such like a foundational step, because what I hear from so many clients, I should say, is how do I price this? What should I price? You didn't talk about pricing. You didn't talk about, you know, the exact way that this should be set up. And what you're talking about is exactly where a lot of the pitfalls are in this industry, is that fear of, well, I don't know as much as this naturopathic doctor who's been out for 10 years, so how could I possibly charge the same rates? So how do you overcome that, and how do you train the people you work with in your masterminds or otherwise to kind of get over that fear of setting up their self-worth and really setting themselves apart as a very confident authority figure as well to back up those prices?
Yes. You know, it's one of the first things we have people do when they come into our group is we have them raise their rates. And we always kind of hold them to it. They're like, you know, we're like, nope, got to raise your rates. It's so interesting because all it ever seems to do is increase their income.
Like, right.
If anything, they then end up with a waiting list. And if you're listening and you have a waiting list, and I've had clients like this who have waiting lists of like 6 months and they're really excited about that, I go, that is lame. That just means you're not charging enough.
Right.
You know, you don't want a waiting list out there of 6 months because people won't actually wait. But I think it really is a process. And the very first thing that you need to do is figure out who you really are and who you're going to serve in the marketplace. So this is, it's interesting. I have a woman who's my massage therapist, and I first found her, I'm like, oh my gosh, this gal is so good. And I thought I better, like, I'm not going to tell her who I am. Just don't say a word, right? Don't say you're going to wreck this if you talk. So I'm just not talking. I couldn't help myself by like the time number three. I'm like, okay, what's your story? And she goes, oh, well, I'm, you know, an acupuncturist. I spent all my money going to acupuncture school. And I'm like, all right, well, that's awesome. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, you have such an advantage. And I said, so what do you want to do? She goes, well, I really want to specialize in women's health. But then I don't want to do that because I don't want to narrow my niche and narrow my focus. I need to get business. And I'm like, no, that's how you would actually get more business. In fact, I take it from women's health to what do you really want to focus on in women's health? Because mm-hmm. women's health is a broad topic. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to focus on, like, you know, menopause and do you want to focus on fertility? And she goes, I can do all of it. I go, it's not, I'm like, listen, going, oh my gosh, I'm wrecking this. I'm like, shut up, JJ. But, you know, she could not see. Every time I sent that, she felt like there was scarcity. She'd limit her market, not realizing. I remember when I put the, you know, drew the line in the sand and said, not only am I specializing in weight loss, I'm specializing in weight loss resistance, those most difficult, you know, problems where they can't lose weight. And then I'm going to dive it down into specializing in food intolerance. And the minute I did that, I had referrals for everything under the sun. I go, I don't do that. Like, I'm not doing cancer, I'm not doing Lyme disease, but it didn't ever slow down the referrals or the practice. It amplified it, and it's so funny because I'm like going, but I'm not an expert, Nate. Why are you sending me people like this, you know? But people just saw expert, but she just wouldn't see it. And, you know, I look at it and I go, first thing you want to look at is what is that category you want to focus on? If it's women's health, well, what in women's health? Is it, you know, is it fertility? Is it menopause? And then the companion to that are, who are the people you want to serve? One of my friends is a hormone doc, and she serves women going into menopause. Well, they are the crabbiest, crankiest people, right? But that's what she focuses on. And so, of course, she has to deal with, like, all the, like, you know, bitchy, mm-hmm. bitchy stuff all the time. I'm like, you chose those people. And then once you really figure out who it is you want to serve, then you got to figure out how it is you're going to get that information out. Again, I go back to this woman who's the most amazing body worker and acupuncturist. So I'm like, well, this is a slam dunk on how you can build this clientele. I started giving her these suggestions, and every single one was met with why that wouldn't work. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I'll never forget, I was coaching this doctor in Palm Desert, and I was coaching two doctors, and they were down the street from each other. One doctor was killing it with this amazing practice. The other doctor was struggling, and the other doctor told me everyone was broke. You know, times were really tough, blah, blah, blah. The other doctor was like, you know, this is amazing. Like, it was there was no difference. They were a block apart, right?
Yep.
And she did the same thing. I'm listening going, well, all the stuff I just recommended to you were how I built a multi-million dollar business. You know?
Yeah.
totally work here. It wasn't that you were in North County or, you know, it's like blamed the place and like, oh my gosh, like you will always be broke. Like you will just always be broke. So you figure out like a couple platforms you're going to totally master. Maybe it's networking. Maybe it's public speaking. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's YouTube. You know, whatever they are, you figure out where your people are and then a couple ways you're going to reach them on an ongoing basis that you love to do. Don't pick something you hate. Mm-hmm. You, oh my gosh, I hate public speaking so much. I'm going to go do that. Like, no, you know, go do the stuff you dig. And then figure out how you're going to monetize it.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways that you can monetize things. And we tend to think of, okay, well, they come in and we charge them by the hour. The biggest thing I teach people never to do is charge by the hour. Like that's the worst possible framework ever. And especially because it's a bad framework for commitment. Because ultimately people commit with their wallet. And if you have them pay as they go, to me, they go. They go, well, should I go this today or should I just go get a massage or a manicure? Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling okay. I guess I don't really need to go there. And then they wait till they really feel rotten. And then they go, well, I really feel rotten. And their friend goes, well, I know this doctor over here. And because they haven't developed this relationship and you couldn't help them when things were really where they you needed to help them, they waited until it got too bad. Now they think you're not that great and they go somewhere else. It's the worst thing you could ever do.
Yeah.
You've got to them into a system that will ensure that they're looking for you as to what you need to what they need to do to get through whatever issue they brought to you. So you better show them what it is. And they're not asking for choices. A confused mind says no. So you give them what they need to do. And then ultimately, once you figured out that system, you look at what you can do to scale that. Would it be adding more services? Would it be adding more practitioners? Would it be adding an online component? Would it be adding, you know, products? Like there's all sorts of ways you can scale, but it's a fairly easy figure out who you are, who you serve, how you're going to reach those people, what you're going to offer to them, and then how you're going to expand that. That's it.
Yeah.
Simple and complicated all at the same time.
Exactly. So that was, you know, basically that was a synopsis in 5 minutes of what we need to be doing, but let's break it down a little bit if possible. So the first thing that I wanted to elaborate on a little bit is, so let's say I choose my niche. Let's say my niche is I want to serve women between the ages of 30 and 40 who want to conceive, so fertility. How would I go about to become an expert in that field and establish myself as the authority figure in that field?
All right. So I was on Dr. Phil for 2 years, and then I did a bunch of other reality stuff. And what I was amazed about with Dr. Phil is they have doctors come on the show, and they literally go, hey, will you go explain that thing that you talked about with stress and how stress makes you fat? Can you tell that doctor so they can say it?
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, you know, because I was like, they didn't want the nutritionist to say it. We'll have the doctor say it.
Right.
Oh, okay. So the doctor now is a stress expert. And you start to realize that these people that would come on that show and say they were experts, I was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you become an expert? Pick a topic you love, study it. I mean, you can't be an expert you know nothing about, but, you know, decide you're going to be an expert. Say you're an expert, you're an expert. And I'm saying that, and that sounds a little ridiculous, but what I've seen time and time again with practitioners is that they keep collecting more and more certifications, more
yes.
and more degrees, more and more workshops, waiting until they're good enough. And they were good enough years ago. The biggest thing you need to do is understand the field you're going into. Know, you know, obviously know the biochemistry and the science behind it. But the most important thing you need to figure out is how do I help someone get a quick win right away in this? How do I help them start feeling better? What's the process? And how do I explain that to them? What I see with most practitioners is they go to school and school and school to learn how to talk over a patient. And they never figure out how to get that patient to actually do the things that will make a difference. I would rather have someone who's been working with people and actually helping them than one of these people that says they're an expert that's actually never had to take someone through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's what I saw. I remember I was in a workshop with IFM, and this doctor was telling us how he puts people on a food elimination program using shakes. And he says, yeah, I have them come in, and I give them a shake. I tell them what to eat, and I have them come back in a month. And I look at him and I go, and that works? He goes, oh, yeah, it works great. I go, really? What makes you say so? Because I can guarantee you that doesn't work. Like, that doesn't work. You have no follow-up. You think you're following it. And he goes, because they told me so. I'm like, they're lying to you. You have no idea. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So the biggest thing is just decide. I think, decide what you want to be an expert in, and then really focus on, you know, continuing to expand your information on that, but really focus on what's it going to take to help that starving crowd with money who wants that. If you're going to be an expert in something no one wants, and by the way, they might need it, doesn't mean they want it and they'll pay for it. But if you're going to be an expert in something no one wants, then good luck with you, right? You know, it's not going to work. Find that unicorn out there. And I look in my coaching program, we have people who, you know, Michael and Isabel Wentz are a great example. Dr. Isabel Wentz was in pharmacy school. She got Hashimoto's. She then got herself through it. She started helping other people get through it. So she wrote a little ebook on it. The ebook became a bigger book that became a New York Times best-selling book. Then she sold a book to the publishers that became a number one, all within this niche that's a huge expanding niche of people who want help desperately.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these niches all over the place. Fertility is a great example of one that there's so much, and it's just going to get worse. You know, you look at expanding market, just going to get worse for a variety of reasons, you know. And you can decide, I'm going to just focus on fertility and women who are 30 plus.
Yes.
Right? Who are like, you know, struggling or, you know, want to bank their eggs or whatever this thing is. So, I mean, it's really finding that one and then deciding you're that expert. That's the first part of it. And, you know, yes, you can continue to take more and more information, learn more as you're doing it, but you're an expert. Decide you're the expert first.
And so now I've established this is how I want my practice to go, and I want to be that expert. What are some of the ways that I can build and keep that audience so that the flow of patients is coming to me? I'm building my social media presence. What are some of those ways that we can really amplify our following?
So once you figure out, okay, my audience is the 30-plus woman. She's had a career. She got married late. You know, maybe you even say she's a 40 plus woman, right? But you know exactly who she is. And you've already had some clients like that, enough so that you can even load it onto Facebook to find out more about these clients and who they are and get lookalike audiences. But my next question is, all right, where do these people hang out?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where are they? Are they on Instagram? Are they on Facebook? You know, what magazines do they read? What shows do they watch? Where do they go? If you've got a local business, you know, what are they frequently, or what other doctor would refer to you? Or like, I owned a personal training studio in Palm Desert. I actually put it right behind my front door is the back door of a very high-end boutique.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would walk those clients over. I knew that the high-end boutique, the high-end hair salon, and the chiropractor would send me all my people.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so that's where you gotta look at is where am I going to get those people from? And so, where are the top places that they are? Pick three. It may be, you know, who's going to be a great word of mouth or referral source. It may be that they are on Facebook or Instagram, and they may be that they follow, like, maybe there's a mommy blogger they all follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you find those things. And the cool thing is, the more business you get, the more clients you get, the more patients you get, the chief actually gets to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So the big thing that you had said before is, you do not want practitioners trading time or money for hours. So I've got my patients coming in. What is the ideal setup that I could create to not only leverage my time with my patients, but also leverage my practice in general?
Yeah, so the first thing you want to do is create some automated referral systems. So you, again, figure out where those patients are coming from. Easiest way to figure out where your patients are coming from is ask.
Yeah, of course.
But you'd be shocked, Andrea, people don't ask, like, where'd you come from? How'd you hear about us, right? Whatever those top ways are, get those into a system, and then ideally they jump onto your site that will really pre-screen and pre-qualify them, right?
Yep.
So that by the time they walk into your practice, they are already completely in. So they're pre-screened, pre-qualified, they can set up, you know, to make that first appointment. They have things that they read before they come into the appointment or a short video to watch, so they know what they're coming in for. And then you have your intake And your intake and your first meeting to me is really a strategy session to see both if it's a good fit. I don't work with people I don't like.
Okay,
will not do
fair.
It. Not for 1 minute. Back when I was a trainer, I fired people. They're like, I can't believe you. I fired someone who, gosh, they were worth thousands of dollars, one of my top clients. And I just one day went, you know what? This woman is not nice and I don't want to be around her. And I'm firing her. And, you know, every time you do that, you actually open the door for better people and it always works better. But that what you want to then do is figure out a really great system that is time leveraged. So when I say that, I go, think about someone coming into your practice. And I learned this early on when I had a nutrition practice, and I realized that I would tell them things and they forgot most of what I said. I think it's like 80% of what you said they forgot. So what can you put onto a membership site so that you can both create better results for your patient, but also move the focus off of what is this person paying per hour? Because what I like to get them into is when they first come to see me, what do I know they're going to need? And so when I was seeing people one-on-one, I was doing a pay-as-you-go, and then I saw how that didn't work. I wasn't getting great results for them. So at the time, we didn't have the ability to have memberships and sites and stuff, so we were giving them more like handouts until we could get stuff online. Now it's so much easier because you can actually have a private group. And again, some of this stuff you have to work with your whatever your HIPAA is. I don't know which country people are in. But you have a membership site where they can get their resources. You can have a private group where they can get things answered, or simple little office hour time where they can be with one of, say, the coaches or assistants to get questions answered. So you can do a lot more that is leveraged. And then you move them into, like for me, I always started people with a 3-month program that included so many calls with me. It had this site, it had a group, so that I was very leveraged, but I knew that they were moving along the path and getting what they needed. And some of that was with me and some of it was with the coach. And so you look at it and go, do I need to be facilitating all of this? What materials do they need and at what time period, so you can get those to them? And what that does is it creates a lot more value than you going, okay, I charge $300 an hour.
Yes,
you know?
100%.
Right? The minute I did that, the results got better. I made more money. They were happier. The whole thing just improved. And they pay in advance. You can either pay them and have them pay in advance. Let's say that your 3-month program is $5,000. And it can be $5,000 if they're going to pay by the month. It's $19.97 a month. Mm-hmm. So $49.97 and then $19.97 a month if they want to do a payment plan. I always make it 10, usually 20% more expensive when they do a payment plan. So.
And what do you think a successful staircase system would be? So you have your 3 months, then would you expand that to a 6 months, then a 1 year? Or do you have kind of a series that you have your clients go through?
Well, it depends what your business is. I
sure.
mean, mine is weight loss, and weight loss is very high failure rates. So for me, what we did was we had the initial meeting, moved into a 3-month program, moved into an annual with quarterly check-ins and resources. So that's how I did it. And I to me, once the biggest thing that you want to be creating with someone, if it's part of your model, I believe that we need to keep someone, like, coaching, accountability are so key to someone's long-term success.
Yes.
And the challenge with the patient is they have no idea when they need more help.
Yes.
And by the time they figured out they need more help, they're way past due. And it's also interesting because I have an amazing chiropractor, ND, that I go to in town. And I make these appointments. And ultimately, it's like I was going once a month. I just told my team, I'm like, I need to go twice a month. But ultimately, whenever I go, I think, oh, I don't really need to go. Like 2 days before, I'm like, oh, I don't really need to go. Like never fails. The day I'm going, I totally need to go. Right?
Right.
Like, God, wow, I really need to do this. But people don't think like that. And so if it's part of a plan, and I'm amazed at this office because I'm like, gosh, they've never tried to move me into any kind of plan if they just did. Like, I know exactly the things I need. They should know what I need because of, like, I need an iron shot every quarter. They should know. But
yes.
They never suggested it, and I'm trying not to. I was like, don't do this. Do not do this with them.
Right.
But if they told me, you know, we can do an annual plan which has you every month and has these things every quarter and it will save you this much, I would totally do that. And you know what the funny thing is? is you're going to have a more committed patient. They might miss an appointment or two. Oh, well, you know, it's like they still ended up probably ahead money wise and you did too. And it's all good. Everybody's happier because of it. So you think about what information you could put online that they'd love to have access to, and then what programs really fit for you to ensure the best results for your patients. Because ultimately, your job is to figure out what that patient needs to get and stay healthy. And honestly, we spend so much time trying to figure out how to get patients.
Yes.
The most value is keeping your patient and building a wall around that patient and really servicing that patient. And I think it is such a, you know, it's irresponsible to not have the maintenance program for someone to spend all this time and money doing what it takes to get better and act like then they're done. That is ridiculous, right? I mean, come on, like, how does the body work that way? You get stressed, you get subjected to something. Like, we're not ever done. This is always a process. There's always more to do. So you need to be seeding all during the first part of your work with them. During your first session, seed the three-month program. During the three-month program, seed the maintenance program. That's really much more of just continuing to sharpen the saw and get better so that they never go back to where they were. That's your big job, right?
Yes. That's such a key, like, gold nugget. Put it in big bold letter takeaways that I think a lot of us forget about. And you're right. A lot of new practitioners and people that have been out for a couple of years, all they focus on is getting new patients into the practice. And they're not focusing on leveraging the patients that are already hot, they're already invested, they're already with them, and offering them better tools to keep them healthy and on track. And I think that is something everyone, if you're hearing this, implement it into your practice as soon as we're done the call.
Now, it's funny, Andrea. I actually had a doctor tell me that he was thought the maintenance stuff was boring.
Right.
I'm like, well, then hire someone to do that piece of it.
Sure.
Because this is like, that's not fair to your patients. What if I just told you that was actually being irresponsible? That's boring.
Totally. Now, JJ, we've talked about the practice part. So we've talked about everything in the walls of our business. I would love, because I know you just dominated this with your own business, talk about how we can expand beyond the walls of our practice and create online programs or residual income or anything else that can help to kind of seed the revenues coming into our business.
So to me, this is the most exciting thing. And it was born out of wanting a laptop life. Back when I created it, there were no laptops. So actually, it was kind of ridiculous. Like, but that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a totally portable mobile business. I had at the time, first I had a Jamel that completely freaked me out. That had to be somewhere every single day. And then I got rid of that, but I was going into LA and I was working out of this one doctor's office. And I thought, well, this is not what I want to do. And ultimately, you know, people didn't want to travel. And, you know, I also wanted to make a lot bigger impact. And so this is a very key important thing. When I work one-on-one with people, especially when I was doing weight loss resistance, I really got into the weeds with all the different things that could get in the way of them losing weight or cause them to gain weight. When I go out to the consumer, I pick the one thing that people always ask me about, the unicorn, the thing that people are like, oh my gosh, I want that, right? I wanted to help them with stress and sleep and thyroid issues, all that stuff. But ultimately, everyone's like, I want that food allergy thing back then that no one called it food intolerance. And so what I took out to the consumer was the thing that I knew if they did would help, like, you know, help them get 80% better. It's not going to get them all the way. There's still other issues. And that's a key thing for someone to think about as a practitioner. Because when I was a practitioner, I had a massive amount of different supplements I would use. I would go in and do all sorts of different, look at all sorts of different lab tests. There was all these things I did. When you take something out to a consumer, think about the program that you would love to have in your practice so that everybody's kind of an intro, like a reset, a starting point. That for me is my Virgin Diet program. That's where they all start, right? And that's the one that I can take out to the whole consumer world. Very easy to do, easy to understand, not complicated, doesn't require a lot of extra stuff. So the big takeaway for a practitioner is we want to get in there and we want to do all this stuff.
Yes.
For a consumer program, look at the pull-out thing that you're using in your practice that you do with everybody. Maybe it's your specific diet. Maybe you've got four pillars of health. Something that you can pull out that people coming into your practice, maybe they can't get in right away, they can at least start the program, and the people that can't get to your practice can start doing it. Because what will happen is friends will start referring friends. Those friends maybe not can't get all the way to your practice, but they could do that program. So that's what I always look for. When I'm working with people who are practitioners, like I was working with this one doc, he's an ND, Dr. Alan Christensen. He had a very successful naturopathic clinic in Scottsdale and did a lot of endocrinology. I said, but the biggest thing you do is thyroid. Let's just focus on that. So the first thing he did was specifically go down the thyroid path. He wrote a thyroid book. He did a thyroid program. Then his next step was to move into adrenals because, of course, adrenals and thyroid, they go hand in hand. He did his adrenal reset diet. Now his next step will be to move into blood sugar. So he just started making these things, and now he's totally out. His office is self-managed. He's teaching other doctors how to create practices that are self-managed so they can do other stuff. But he started by putting these programs online. And the patients that could come in to see him, they started with this. The patients who couldn't get to them, that was something they could use.
Awesome. And then, so this is kind of the next part of it is, okay, so we've niched, just like you said with that doctor, I've niched thyroid. I think I should start niching adrenal. How do we know, and is it possible to have more than one niche, or when can we start branching off our business into other things that inspire us and are either congruent or maybe down a totally different path with our brand?
Longer than you think. So for most of us, I don't know, I'm going to speak for me. I get bored in 5 seconds. I do something. The minute I do that, I want to go do the next thing. And if you look at the people who are super duper successful, they focus on one thing. They drive that stake deep. So let's say that I'm doing health, weight loss, food intolerance. Mm-hmm. Take that, and by the way, building that really solid brand, 3 to 5 years. I think that if you really are training in it, focused on it, have a coach, maybe a mastermind, et cetera, you can do that in 3 years, really build a solid multimillion-dollar brand in that. When you've got that thing humming, you've got an automated lead source for it, it's continuing to build, and it's kind of gotten into it's fairly stable. You've got leads coming in, you've gotten to the point like of how much you can really do with it. Then add the next thing. So after food intolerance, for me, the top question I started to get asked, and you can decide a couple things. Do I want to go into another niche, or do I want to move into a whole nother category or a whole nother sector? And I'll give you some examples. For me, the next niche over was carb intolerance, sugar issues. I wrote the sugar impact diet because the biggest question I asked after food intolerance was like, well, what about sugar? And honestly, Andrea, I was like, just don't eat it. You know, I don't have a sweet tooth, so I'm like, I could care less about sugar, but I am not normal and clearly not my audience. This was a big hot button. So that was my next niche, carb intolerance. Now, there's another one I'm playing around with that will go down, and it'll be another thing from health, weight loss, and another niche, and they all serve that same audience. But I also moved into a whole nother sector, personal development, when I talked about my son and what happened with my son and wrote a book on mindset. That is, you know, totally different sector of which I went, you know, I went from a new sector, personal development, mindset, and then moms. Like, so I went into a very specific area. That will take me 3 to 5 years to really build.
Yes.
And it's a totally different thing. And we just are adding in a product line that is a skincare product line. And so that really is another one too, because it's really, while you could say that skincare is health, this is really then beauty and anti-aging. So that's going to take at least 18 months or so to build. So it really depends how you want to do it. Personally, I think we're always better off to just add the niche that's right next door that you're passionate about, that they're asking for, because it just makes it easier. If you even ever want to do that, like, you may just find that, hey, you've got this thing humming and it's super great. But if you get to a stability point, because all businesses go through these curves where you start out and you're messing around, it's formulation, then it starts to chug, it's concentration, then you really it starts to take off, that's momentum, and then it gets stable. And at the stable time, you add your next one. And it just depends how passionate you are about something. And if it is a new category, you're going to work a lot more. So easiest thing is to add another niche.
And let's just talk about, because I think that's probably the most important thing for people to understand, is I think new business owners that are looking up to you, JJ, or looking up to Mark Hyman, and they're just like, man, these guys wrote a book, they're killing it, that's all I need to do. What you've just said, I think, is probably the most important statement, is you got to hustle for 3 to 5 years before you can really establish yourself as that authority figure, for things to really get automated, and for the money to not be so scarce, like you know exactly how your business is going to run. And you also said something that you've been doing this for 30 years plus.
Right. Mark and I have been friends for years, like 15, 20 years. So I remember when he wrote his first book that really wasn't a big deal back then, right? I mean, I remember when Dr. Amen, I've been buddies with him for like 15, 20 years, yeah. You know, it's like this, there were no overnight successes. Now, if you're very focused, you can get, 3 to 5 years is to me an overnight success. And what did I learn during that time? Had I just focused, and it was really kind of going through all the stuff with weight loss resistance, figuring out that food intolerance was really the place. And that's the faster you can find the unicorn in your business, that thing that people love, and usually it's right under your nose and you cannot see it. Mm-hmm. I find it all the time with people. And then the other thing you can do once you create that niche is you can look at, well, I could start another niche, or I could turn this into a practitioner training. Like with food intolerance, our next thing now is food intolerance specialists. Or I started a whole nother company, Mindshare, where we teach people how we bring all the health entrepreneurs together and like teach what we did. So there's other ways to take what you did then and scale that. Doesn't necessarily have to be straight down to consumer. Again, you can do it to practitioner. You can do it in other countries, right?
Right. And the final question that I want to have is kind of stepping on the idea of, you know, the hustle. And I really don't like to use that term hustle because it's basically just hard work. What does it actually look like to create the brand? Like, what does that look like from the beginning of your day to the end of your day with who's in your team and how often are you posting on social media and where are you going to get the authority pieces or the writings or the speaking engagements? Like, how does that actually look in real life? Because what we see is you're out there. But there's a lot more behind the scenes work that goes into it. And if you don't mind, just as we're wrapping up, just kind of lay it all out that this is what it actually takes to become successful in your practice.
So for years, I was super duper struggling. It wasn't until the Virgin Diet came out that things really started to turn around. And it, you know, it wasn't like every month was like, right? Because I reinvested everything back into my business, mm-hmm. everything. And the biggest consistent thing that I've done from the point that I really started to become successful, the big differentiator was I hired a coach, and I hired a coach when I could not afford it. I could not afford it. So I always hear people say, oh, I can't afford that yet. I'm like, then you can't afford not to.
Right.
Started getting into mastermind groups and having coaches. And that was the game changer for me. You know, there's so much free information out there and it will only get you so far. And the minute I committed with my wallet and said, I'm going to start, you know, learning from the best. And I always went and found whoever had done what I wanted to do, I hired them. And that made all the difference. And I never could afford it. And it always was the game changer for me. And I think I almost wish now that when people come into our Mindshare community that we could charge them just slightly more than what they could afford, whatever price that could be, right? Mm-hmm. Because once it's easy to afford, you don't put the energy and effort to it, right? This couldn't be a try. It has to really be a survival thing. Like what if failing was not an option here?
Yeah.
So that's where I like to start. My team has grown over the years. It started with one gal, Susan, who used to run the gym with me. And when we decided to do this, she didn't think I'd have enough work for her. And then from Susan, you know, I added my son's, this was a mistake. I added my son's best friend's mother as our bookkeeper. So I can never, ever get rid of her. And she's super loyal and super great, but not super A player, but I'm never letting go of her because mm-hmm. she's, you know, loyalty above that. But
right.
Then we added a tech person. We've gone through quite a lot of those. We finally found a really good tech guy who manages the rest of our tech people. We have a digital, we have a shopping cart guy who does all of our shopping cart stuff. We have a COO who makes sure all the KPIs, everything's worked. And I'm lucky that I have a COO who's done copywriting. He's done supplement sales. He's been, you know, helped set up companies to sell. He's done all sorts of stuff. I met him years ago. I have a gal who heads up all of our customer service. And she does our affiliate programs. And then I have a gal who we hired as kind of an editor to begin with. And she has become our content manager, social media manager. We have a team for social media. So she runs all of it and sets up all our content. And then we have someone who specializes in Pinterest, someone who specializes in Instagram, someone who specializes in Facebook. We now have a Facebook ads group coming on to help us. I've run through a couple of them. Most of them I've been totally dissatisfied with, so we're doing a new one. We have a graphics team to help us with all our graphics. And then we have another guy who designs all our websites, graphics, documents, and stuff. And I'm like thinking, is that it? And of course, on the outside, other people. But that's the main team. And it's taken a long time. Here's the thing that happens as you go along is at each level, at 500,000, at a million, at 2 million, 10 million, everywhere along the road, the people that got you there may not be the people that you need to take you to the next place. Yes. And that's been a super tough thing. As I was scaling the business, I worked with someone, this guy named Cameron Harold, who helped me really figure that piece out. And I had to let go of two key players that I realized were not bringing value to the team. Like they weren't the right fit. And so sometimes it's someone's not the right fit at all. And sometimes they're just in the wrong seat on the bus. And that's part of what you have to figure out, you know, with all of this. And so as you're building, you may find that not all of your people are going to come with you. And maybe none of them are going to come with you. And that's, you know, as long as you have you, right? But you have to be, those are the tough decisions. The other key thing that we do is we have KPIs, key performance indicators for every area. So, you know, with email sends, what are the opens? What are the end subs? What's the click through? With our social media, it's like what's getting engagement? What are the hot unicorn blogs and videos that we do? You know, our likes. With our finances, what are the products selling? If we're getting returns? Lifetime value. So all these different areas each have their own KPIs that you have to track on a weekly basis to make sure, because as your company starts to scale, it gets out of control fast and all of a sudden you have no idea what's going on.
The most important thing there is that you just started with one person who helped you out. And then as your business grew, you grew your team. And for a lot of us, you know, that are just starting out, I mean, they can't afford to have somebody help them out. But if you want to get to the next level, you do. You just need to find a way to get that team.
That's always been the thing I spent the money on. And like Susan was making more money than me for quite a while. And what I would look at is you've got things that you're super good at that you would love to do if you got paid or not. Yeah. That's where you ultimately want to end up, in your unique ability. Then you have things that you're good at, but you don't like doing. And then you have things that you are terrible at, right? So you have things you're good at that, you know, you'll do, but it's like, and you have things you're good at, you don't like doing, and then you things you just are not good at. First thing you do is the things you're not good at, outsource those. And they don't have to become employees right away. I mean, there's plenty of great places like Elance, you know, that you can find people to hire. But I first always took off the things like bookkeeping, admin. Those things went off my plate. The lower level tasks I sucked at, out. And then I just kept going up from there until I got to the point where now I pretty much just stay in the highest level tasks because I know what my time is worth and it's absolutely stupid for me to be doing other stuff.
Right. JJ, so. This was awesome. And as always, you're just so open and honest and straightforward. And this is what's got to be done. And this is kind of how my journey is. And I just love that. And if there are some resources that we could tap into, particularly yours or resources that you found valuable to you, what are those?
What I would say to do is go to mindsharesummit.com. That is the Mindshare community that I put together. It's this most amazing group of health entrepreneurs. Our annual event's coming up, so I'm not sure when people are listening to it. They may have missed it. But we have a really cool Facebook community. So if you apply there, you'll get invited into the Facebook community. And that is just an amazing resource of super cool entrepreneurs. Plus, once you're on that list, I know that we're going to have we have some resources that we send out on a regular basis. Right now, we're getting ready for the event. So I'm like, I'm not sure what we're going to have. We're all buried. But we've got some really cool stuff. I know Dr. Alan Christensen, the MD I was talking about, is going to be doing some training on really how to, you know, create a self-managed company. So we've got great resources on an ongoing basis. So that's where I go. And just don't be like, you'll see that it's an event, but that's because that's what's going on right now. We're getting ready to put on our big, big annual events, and then we'll shift.
Well, good luck with all of that. Thank you again for putting all of this valuable information out there for us, for coming on the show again today. And I really, really appreciated the interview. Thank you so, so much, JJ.
Thank you.
So that was the JJ Virgin talking to us about everything you need to do to grow your brand and be an authority. So I hope that you take a lot of those key action steps that she talked about and think of how you can implement them into your brand, into your office, into how you're going to run your business, and see how that starts to play out with regards to developing yourself as that authority figure in your niche. And more than anything else, you'll constantly hear people saying you have to niche out if you want to be successful. You have to figure out that ideal target population that you want to work with and work with them and do amazing things by them. And then once you've established yourself as the person to go to for X condition, then you can start to branch off into other things. And I still love that she said it's going to take anywhere from 3 to 5 years for you to really establish yourself as that authority figure. So understand that it's not going to be overnight and it's not going to happen in your first year unless you're really, really connected and you have an amazing team backing you up. Now, for you that are listening to this episode and you feel very inspired, you don't know what steps to take, but you know that you need to do something in order to really change your practice, really set it apart from everybody else. And maybe you just don't know how to identify that target market. Maybe you don't know, or you're afraid to make that step and do some of the things that she talked about. Because a lot of what she said was stepping outside of your comfort zone significantly in order to do that. So please, I invite you to contact me personally with my email info@themaxummovement.com. And I will personally walk you through how we can identify your target market, get you focused, get you working on that one thing that's going to make a huge difference in your business, a huge game changer, and also get you to take action, because 95% of you that are listening to this won't. You'll just take the information, you'll be inspired, and then you'll get distracted by how your business is running right now. And my assumption is it's not running as great as you'd like it to. So be one of those top 5% that actually do something, take action, move forward, step outside your comfort zone, and let me be the person that will help you do that. So please contact me directly, info@themaxummovement.com, or hit me up on my website in the Work With Me tab. Otherwise, guys, I am always here for you. Any questions, topics that you want to see, let me know. Hit me up on social media. I'm starting to get a really nice following on Instagram, and I tend to be the most vulnerable on Instagram about how things are going behind the scenes with my business. So definitely follow me on Instagram. The handle is Andrea Maxim ND. Otherwise, guys, kill it. I'm Andrea Maxim, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.